O God, take our lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and fill them with love for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It is so good to be home. And to be home with you, Church of the Redeemer, on the day of Pentecost and on the occasion of 150 years of history. And it's really wonderful to be here with your clergy, especially thinking of our honorary assistants, Andrew and Anne, Jim, Katie, and Paul. I'm so grateful for your supporting roles at Redeemer. And to you, Susan Haig, I'm grateful for the way that you pastor and preach and care for the community. And really grateful for the way that you serve as one of our canon pastors and walking with the most vulnerable at a most vulnerable time. Stephen, you and I have had the joy of serving together at the corner, even briefly, lo, these many years ago. And you were so impressive then, and you are so impressive now, and deeply grateful for the way that you're leading this community at a really important stage in its life, and we're really grateful. Both of you are treasures among us. And of course, we know that clergy are important, but clergy do not have the sole purview for ministry. That's an enterprise to which all of us are summoned by virtue of our baptism. God has given each of you gifts, and it is the Holy Spirit that weaves all of those gifts together into the mystical body of Christ. And in your own time, each of you are called to offer your varied gifts, whether it's to sing, or it's to teach Bible, or to teach children, or it's to be on council, or to do stewardship or outreach, or to pray, or to be servants as wardens. Whatever that gift may be, standing at the front door of the church to welcome the long lost soul and to offer a place of refuge and welcome, I am grateful. And we've learned over time that even in this time of pandemic, those gifts that God has given to you do not cease to be expressed, but they find new ways of expression in this time. And I'm grateful for the creative ways that you are doing ministry online. It's really wonderful the way that you're staying connected, not just to each other, but to the community at large. And I'm really grateful for Angie Hawking and the members of the Common Table who have continued to find new and creative ways of sustaining and nourishing and providing community for the most vulnerable among us. And what a gift, I must say, to be wrapped with music. Oh, I miss the music. I think often of George Black, who used to say, "The power of us singing together is not just that we make music, it's that we actually breathe together in unison as one. And in singing, we honor the breath that is in us, that God has given to us. And there will come a day not long from now when we'll be able to take the masks off and to sing with gusto. And I look forward to that day. Once in a lifetime. You may find yourself in a shotgun shack. You may find yourself in a land far away. You may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. You may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself, how did I get here? David Byrne of Talking Heads said, we live so much of our lives unconsciously, half awake, on autopilot. And rarely do we ever take the time after we have settled down as people to ask ourselves the question, how did I get here? Or put another way, there's an old rabbinic tale that is told of a rabbi during the Tsarist regime in Moscow, making his way across the great square at the Kremlin, when suddenly a young guard came up to him, weapon in hand, and pointed it at him and demanded in a loud voice, who are you? What do you want? And where are you going? And it took the rabbi a few moments to regain his composure. And he looked at the young man and he said, How much is the czar giving you as pay to ask these three questions? And the young man said, 10 kopecks. And the rabbi said, then I'll pay you 15 if you come every week and ask the same three questions of my community. Who are you? What do you want? And where are you going? Who are you now? What is God asking of you? And where are you going? It's only in those times of upset, of being disturbed, of disruption, of those moments when we become fully awake that we ask ourselves the deeper questions below the surface. So often we go through the motions in our lives. We're concerned with all of the temporal needs of our lives. And before you know it, a day passes, a week passes, a month passes, years pass. And we move from one birthday to the next. Some we celebrate with gusto, some we don't celebrate, some we avoid and dread. Some of us are 29 or 39 for a long time. When we turn 16, we can drive. When we turn 18, we can vote. When we turn 19, we can drink legally. When we turn 21, we can drink legally everywhere. When we turn 40, we realize that we actually don't know as much as we thought we did. They promised us freedom at 55, retirement at 65. And the closer we get to the year 100, we give thanks for every breath that we have and for the long memories that we have been given and the gift of life itself that comes from God. And what's true for us is also true for a church community. 150 years of life, Church of the Redeemer. In the grand scheme of our Canadian landscape, that's a long time. It's a long memory that stretches us back to a time when at the corner of Avenue Road and Bloor Street, there was mostly open greenfield to the north, to the west, a small little university coming to life to the south. And our life as a church community began in a humble building moved down from St. Paul Street to the corner of what is now Bay and Bloor. And that's where the life of the Redeemer as a community began. But let's be honest with ourselves. Think about this. If it had not been for a moment of upset and disruption back in 1979, I'm not sure that we would still be gathering under the name of the Redeemer. I'm not sure we would be having this worship service in the way that we are if it had not been for a very small community back in 1979 that was willing to lay down their life and to allow another to come in and to bring new life, to trust the Diocese of Toronto and the Holy Spirit to help remake a community to come back to life, to ask the serious questions. Who are you? What do you want? And where are you going? Who are you now? What is God asking of you? And where are you going? They are, I think, the same questions that are asked of us on the day of Pentecost. In the Cathedral of St. James, on the east wall of the church near the Marian altar, there's a beautiful depiction in stained glass of the Pentecost moment. All 12 disciples are all lined up together, huddled very, very closely, and they're all looking up to heaven. And on each one, there is a single solitary flicker of a candlelight. And each one has this beautiful, serene look on their faces, quiet and calm. I find it really interesting to juxtapose that quiet and calmness with actually the reality that we hear in the book of Acts. As Margaret Amers, the theologian, would say, it's not a gentle indwelling of the Spirit. This came suddenly, aphno, violently, biasiat. It came with such a disruption, with this violent noise, like that of a locomotive, like that of a tornado. It came rushing in. If you've ever been close to a tornado, the sound of it is absolutely earth-shattering and it wakes you up. The whole neighborhood would have heard this moment as the spirit comes flying into the room. And the disciples could not, I think, in that moment, could have imagined that they, as it were, would become the container. When Jesus talked about a helper is coming, I think in your own mind's eye, you think of a helper is coming. Somebody's going to help me. But to imagine that you are the one, in fact, being filled up from the inside out, over the brim, and given a power not to leap tall buildings and not to speed as quickly as a locomotive, but actually to be able to find the language in you that speaks of the spirit of truth that stirs the human soul to believe again, to trust again, to see again, to wake up, not to live half awake, not to live on autopilot, but to be fully awake to the love and presence of God. In the same way that generations before, Joel would say to a people, in these last days, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Your young men and your young women shall prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elderly will dream dreams. And even on your slaves, male and female, I will pour out my spirit and prophesy. And speaking to the depths of the human core, here were the disciples who were willing, in fact, to lay it down so that the other might bring them up. And the same challenge is given over to us, to you and to me. It's well documented, in fact, that most of us would take risks if we feel that we're in control. Paul Slovic, who is a professor of psychology, I should say, at Oregon University, says that the more we feel in control, the more risks we're willing to take. And he uses that wonderful image of cutting a loaf of bread. And he said, with one hand, you put your hand on the loaf, and with the other, you use the knife and you cut, and you tend to have your hand pretty close to the cut line. But he said, then try to imagine that somebody else is actually using the knife to cut, but your hand is still on the loaf. Now, where do you put your hand? Chances are, actually, you move it as far down the loaf as you possibly can. But the day of Pentecost, actually, is the moment when the Spirit cuts through us to awaken in us the life that we are being called to be fully awake. We become the hands and the feet and the soul and the life of God that cuts through us to take those risks for the sake of new life. Who are you? What do you want? And where are you going? For 150 years, Church of the Redeemer, you have possessed, as it were, the corner of Avenue Road and Bloor Street. And I can say with great, great admiration and joy and thanksgiving that over the time that I have spent in the parish, I learned more about ministry from the lay leaders of the Redeemer than any cleric could ever teach me. That the ministry that you have been called to for the first 150 years is not one that has stayed static in the walls of a church, but has poured out into the diocese and beyond. The Redeemer is, in fact, a community that is known right across the land from coast to coast to coast. And at age 150, you're looking mighty fine. But the question of Pentecost on a birthday like this is, so what are you going to look like at 175? The decisions that you make today as a community will actually have an effect on tomorrow. We are in one of the most disruptive changes and time of change in our history. In this pandemic, we have been reduced to being able to gather as we are now. And in the pandemic, we have had our eyes opened to the deep injustices that waver below the surface. For those who live with precarious housing, for those who live with food insecurity, for the hurt that is experienced of domestic violence, for the struggling of mental health issues, of the economic injustices, of facing racism and the sin that is around and within that calls all of us to account. And one day when this pandemic ends and we are allowed and able to come back and gather together, will we fall back to sleep? Will we go on autopilot again? Will we be conscious? The Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost calls us to lay down, to lay aside, and to trust that the risks that we take today for the sake of the gospel will always be fueled with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of love and the Spirit of compassion that will carry us to be the testimony of love for the world for tomorrow. When we, some of us will, at the 175th anniversary, pray God, we'll have a chance to look back and say, I remember 2021. And I remember the choices we made then that helps us to be faithful tomorrow. Happy birthday. God bless you. I am deeply grateful for the ministry that you are all engaged in. Amen.